morning, everybody. It's November 26, 2019, and I'm hereby calling to order the meeting of the Story County Board of Supervisors. And if you're here too, please join us in the pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. I would next entertain a motion to adopt the agenda.
So move. Second.
Motion is second. Olson?
Aye.
Seddon?
Aye.
Merkin, aye. Agenda today approved. Next is public comment number one. The comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. If there's anybody who would like to address a topic on today's agenda, we'll also allow a little bit of time when we have an agenda item. But if there's anybody who'd like to address anything right now, please move to the microphone. Seeing nobody moves to the microphone, I will close public comment session and we'll move on to consideration of minutes. We have four sets of minutes, two regular meetings, and two canvases. So I would entertain a motion to approve all the minutes listed.
I make the motion to approve all minutes as presented.
I second.
Okay.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Merkin. Aye. Approved. Next, personnel action. I would entertain a motion.
I would so move as presented.
I second.
Okay. Olson.
Aye.
Teddy.
Aye.
Merkin. Aye. Motion carried. Next, consideration of claims as presented.
I move approval of claims as presented. Would you entertain just a friendly amendment just to make it clear that it would be as presented to us? There was a handwritten adjustment on them?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
Yes. So I would move that the claims be presented as presented to the Board of Supervisors.
I second that motion.
Okay. Heddens?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin, aye. How far back can we push it? It might be my line because I just realized it was turned off and I turned it on. And it started feedback right after I turned it on. So I think it's mine. I'll just leave it a ways away. Okay. Next, we have a consent agenda. I'm going to entertain a motion.
So moved that we approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Okay. Olson?
Aye.
Heddens?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Consent agenda is approved. Public hearing items. We have under public hearing second consideration of ordinance number 286, an ordinance amending chapter 80, our floodplain management program. And Leanne Herter, I'll turn it over to you for comments.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm not going to reiterate the presentation I gave last week unless there are any questions. Just since first consideration, I've received no public input. So staff would recommend third consideration be set for next Tuesday, December 3rd. And then along with that, we'll have the resolution readopting the administrative procedures and discussion on those.
So you need to bring the resolution to the next meeting? So I was thinking we could waive the third reading.
No. On the floodplain management ordinance, I would prefer that you go through all three considerations.
Okay. Okay. Just thought I'd check. Any questions?
No.
None.
Entertain a motion?
I make the motion. Nope.
Oh, I'm that's right. Thank you. It is a public hearing.
If
you can't correct it, I would open the public hearing. Any members of the public, anybody who wants to comment, please move to the microphone. Seeing nobody move to the microphone, I'll close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
I move the second consideration of ordinance number 286, an ordinance amending chapter 80, the floodplain management program of the Code of Ordinances for Story County, Iowa, and set the third reading for December 3rd.
I second.
Okay. Any further discussion? If not, Heddens?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Motion carries. We have additional items, and the first additional item here is consideration of a support letter for ISU-led AeroNet wireless proposal.
This is a proposal to get a federal, obtain a federal grant to develop a project for rural broadband. Iowa State did submit this previously in previous years, and a previous Board of Supervisors did do a letter of support as was requested. I did reach out this time to our IT department and facilities management because some of the things were in the letter of support, and I received some feedback from both Joby and Barb, which I incorporated into the letter that was attached to the agenda. I've also, I think, noted that we did have a letter that had different language from last year. So I did that to represent the concerns that staff had in terms of the amount of items that we were being asked to commit to in the letter of support. Now, I would say that a letter of support is not a contract. So the language in a letter of support doesn't necessarily have to mirror what one would put in a contract, and assurances one put in a contract or any kind of agreement with Iowa State. Nonetheless, I felt it was important to put the staff concerns, to address those staff concerns in a draft. So I thought that was something we could discuss, how we wanted to find the letter to read. And I don't know, Joby or Barb, if either of you would like to speak to this issue, or do you want to wait to see if there are questions?
I'll all right, wait to see if there's any specific questions.
You two will? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'd open it for discussion.
Well, having voted to submit the previous letter of support, when the scope of the project was a bit more narrow, I think is how we would define it. I think that the staff weighing in again, we did ask last year, you know, what concerns do you have? But as I said, the project was narrower in scope. And so I'm fine with this letter. I think it lays out, you know, what it is that we have to do last year and then this year. We're saying as we're able to assist you, but we're not pledging any financial obligation, and we're not mandating our staff or our facilities themselves, our infrastructure, to be committed to this prematurely, and it's all on a voluntary. I hope he gets it this time. I think it has an exciting opportunity to provide internet services right to the rural residents, but so third time's a charm, maybe, because I think he applied first time too. This is the third round of funding.
Yeah, I think the letter was fine. I do appreciate that staff were consulted on this. Looking at your letter and the bullet points, I think it really lays out what we're willing to do, the extent that we're willing to do, but not giving a definitive any financial or staff allocations or concur on that. So I think how you have it laid out was nicely done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else? I think it is a very interesting project, but I did attend the workshop that they had a week ago and informational meeting, and there were some things I didn't quite understand how they were going to do it. Not that I'm that technical, but I think there are some things to be answered in terms of where they are with the ICN, where they are with some other things, and I think staff brought up some really good things about, sure, we'd like to be able to cooperate and be helpful, but we have our own security, we have taxpayer money to consider, so we have to, you know, we have to really look at as if they get the grant, and as that evolves, I'm sure we'll be a partner, but we'll get more information, I think, as they get more specific. So, okay, I would entertain a motion.
I move that we approve the letter of support for ARINET. That's dated November 26th.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Olson?
Aye.
Seddon?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Thank you. Next is discussion and consideration of setting the Administrative Building, Justice Center, and Human Services Center building hours 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, effective January 1st, Alyssa Wigmore. Good morning.
Good morning. So this item was brought up at our department head and elected official meeting a week ago, and it was brought up to set the hours from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. for the three buildings, the Justice Center, Admin Building, and HSC. We do, over at HSC, there is currently no office open past 4:30, so it would just be setting those official hours that go along with the offices and departments that are within there. There was good discussion about offices that work with other agencies, the state. Their offices close at 4:30, so while we still are open and the public can come in and do business, there are things we're not able to assist them with after 4:30. So that was one of it. We also have various offices across the county that are open 8 to 4:30, so this would be more consistent with everybody kind of to be on the same hours. I know two of you heard the conversation. I know Loris wasn't there. So if you have any questions, I know we have a couple elected officials in the office or in the meeting today.
I'd just like you to reiterate for me, because you'd come in and explain
sure,
it to me this
sure.
already, but so that the staff is still working the same number of hours.
Correct.
So the biggest inconvenience to the staff will be shorter lunch periods?
Yeah, that's what it would mean. Typically right now they work 8 to 5, so they take an hour lunch. The hourly employees, they will still be expected to work the 40-hour work week. They'll get the same compensation. Their lunches will be shorter. If for some reason somebody needs to take a different lunch, they'll have to work that out with their office or their elected official or department head, and they can work that out. They set the schedule for their employees within their office or department.
I was going to just kind of look out to the elected officials and the staff out there who are representing different departments. It's my understanding that the state offices close at 4:30, correct? I'll take nods. Okay, from everybody. So from 4:30 to 5, for you to do your regular business, to if somebody comes in with a deed or issue that you have to call the state, or if you need to call them to the treasurer's office, if the auditor's office needs to contact somebody down at the state, there's nobody to even contact, right, from 4:30 to 5. So we really aren't hurting the delivery of services to the public because we're not able to offer full services, I mean, given if you need to do something outside of your normal. And that's consistency and making sure that we're still providing the services to the citizens are the two things that I think really are the issues here. The third one is inconvenience to the staff. And I see staff here too who are look to appear to agree with this. So I would then ask any other elected officials or anybody who wanted to weigh in that maybe had a different opinion about staff issues. Okay. Thanks. I'm done then. Thanks.
Okay. Go ahead. No, I was just going to say that I also just double checked. So I, like the state Iowa Department of Public Health closes at 4:30. Department of Human Services closes at 4:30. Iowa Medicaid Enterprise closes at 4:30. The judicial branch closes at 4:30. So, I just wanted to double check from the discussions last week. I know some of the other elected officials have looked at or contacted their colleagues throughout the state and found many of them, their offices closed at 4:30. So, yes, you are correct. We're not limiting delivery of service. We're just being a little bit more consistent. And I think the discussion last week was a little eye-opening as well for us to find out that all of the offices over at the HCS building were done at 4:30, and yet the building was open till 5. So pretty much anyone could have come into the building during that time, but there was no one there to provide a service to them.
The other thing that I kind of wanted to reiterate was we did have discussion that building hours did not necessarily equate with an individual's working hours. For instance, facilities management comes in at 7:30, so they make sure that everything's okay with the buildings when they're opened at 8. If an office wanted to have somebody working later to count cash, to do whatever, close out books, that would be working hours as opposed to building hours. So I think there's that flexibility there, which makes sense.
Yeah, each department or office would need to set their office hours. The elected officials mm-hmm. have that statutory right. So this is just setting the official building hours for these three county buildings.
Yeah. And I'm maybe it's me.
I'm looking back at facilities director just to make sure that there's nothing that came up with your staff that would be a problem. step back from the mic.
Who knows how to adjust these microphones?
I just turned them down.
Okay.
I think it's from us turning it up for the recording.
Ah, okay.
That's when it all started.
So, okay. Maybe we'll talk later about that project we looked into and put to the side for a while.
Maybe we'll just talk louder.
Yeah.
Turn them off and talk louder.
So I have no other questions or thoughts.
Okay. I have no other questions as well.
Not, I would entertain a motion to set the outbuilding hours for these three buildings from 8 a.m. to 4:30 Monday through Friday, effective January 1st.
I would so move.
Second.
Okay. Further discussion? Olson?
Aye.
Tedman?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye.
Okay.
Approved.
Thank you. We'll get notice. Make sure their appropriate notice goes out.
Oh.
And I want to thank the recorder for bringing this up.
Yeah. Speaking of notice, any kind of outreach that we could do that would be a little bit more than just a press release, too, would be appreciated. I like what the treasurer's office has done, you know, putting the sign down in the lobby, you know, reminding people about your training every month. And so I think that's a little bit extra we could do to remind people, because there will be some people who aren't used to it, and that one customer you get between 4:30 and 5 will have a little bit of shock first time they can't get in the building. Thanks.
Okay. Now we're to upcoming agenda items. So are there any agenda items that you'll be placing on for December 3rd?
Not for December 3rd.
We do need to get back to the proposal for renaming Squaw Creek, and we might be ready to do that. I've been getting several emails, and I'm having Darla compile them. Would that be? I know the Ames City Council is meeting tonight.
I know that Hamilton County, they aren't discussing it until I think their December 10th meeting, because they do have someone that is out of the country right now.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Boone County, when I reached out to them, they wanted to visit after the Thanksgiving holiday.
December 3rd would be fine for me. I appreciate you passing on those emails you're receiving, Linda, so we've all been in the loop at the same time about who's responding. It's pretty clear, especially as people with ties to the Native American communities or history of the Native American communities, that they've got a very clear desire there. And I think December 3rd would be good, because it would also possibly provide some more information and reference for Boone and Hamilton counties. Are you going to go to the Ames Council tonight?
Yes,
I am. Okay, super. Thank you. Yeah. So I think that December 3rd would be a good place to address it again.
Okay. Can you put that on? Well, I'll get it done. Okay. The other thing I might bring back to the board is maybe for another discussion on the Nevada Leadership Program. I was, in our previous support, I was contacted by somebody right after we did our last action on that, and there was some disappointment that we were possibly contributing less to that than we had been in previous years. So I might just put that back on for discussion. I've got a meeting with somebody about that. I said I would be willing to listen to what they had to say.
I'm not interested in revisiting it, but if you'd like to put it on, we can talk about that again.
Okay. And that's all that I would have, I think, for next week. Do you have anything else?
Not for next week. I think the week after, I hope that I'll have a little more information on the Work Innovations and Opportunities Act about where we may be financially, if we may have to financially help make the transition. I have talked to the director of Iowa Workforce Development down at the state, and it does sound like there might be a little bit of money to help with transitions. We really are on hold pattern right now. What we're going to move forward with, we need to finish the 2080 to get it out, so I can get it out to the other 10 counties.
So they're asking the counties to provide
it's my assessment after I talked to, I attended the training last Wednesday, the 6 hours, the discussion, I guess, is more with the CEO's consultation. About 27 supervisors from showed up. Then I went to the finance committee meeting of the current board, which is where our current money is for the Region 11. And we went through those financials, and we talked about transitions of programming and how to plan ahead. At what point would money have to roll over to the new regions, local development areas. And then I talked to Beth Townsend. So between the three of those, it is my assessment right now. That's, you know, I put this out or sent an email yesterday to the other 10 counties. But just to say, it's just based on these bits of information I've picked up, we might have to plan to do a few thousand dollars of transition money per county. While the legislation doesn't address how to transfer these two and roll over, we have that to deal with. And so we're already chopping apart or combining regions, and that's a concern for the one proposal out there now is Coke's story would be joined with a whole bunch of counties from the south and southwest. They would tear apart the metro area. And that, so these are all, I'm just letting you know. So as I do more assessment and confer with my other supervisors, there are two other CLEOs who are at that meeting. We're just trying to figure out what we even recommend that we're going to have to do to keep on their deadline. And there's still no answer on the appeal.
Okay. I just recalled there may be one thing that I would put on the agenda, not next week, but probably upcoming. We do have, through CICS, we have a work group that's looking at legislative priorities. Some of the other regions have done that, and so we have a small work group that I was a part of as CICS, just looking at all the priorities from ISAC, from the Mental Health and Disability Council, from ID Action, and kind of culminating what are our local CICS's priorities. So that may be something that the Board of Supervisors may want to review as well.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, thank you. Next, then, we will go to public forum number 2, comments from the public on items not on the agenda. The Board may not take any action on the comments due to the requirements of the open meetings law, but may do so in the future. Treasurer Rasmussen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to commend our Story County Veterans Affairs Department and Brett McClain for coordinating the for the Iowa Veterans Home that is currently going on in the HCS building in Veterans Affairs and in the Story County Treasurer's Office. We will be accepting donations until December 11th. I want to thank everybody in the county who has already donated to that drive. It's a great cause. And wanted to remind everyone that December 11th at 5 o'clock is a Wednesday. Will be our last day if people would like to donate more. That's all I have. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Anybody else? If not, then I will close the public forum and we'll go on to liaison assignments, committee meeting updates, and announcements from the supervisors.
I just wanted to give a little bit of an update. I had the CICS meeting last week, and they had some statistics over the last fiscal year that I thought you might find interesting. For one thing that they are looking at is currently, if you recall, you've got all of your cards for the crisis line. The CICS region is going to move into joining with the statewide line, which is called Your Life Iowa. Individuals can still be able to call that same number. It'll go to the same foundation too, and it'll get rolled, out. But they're actually going to get a better financial deal by
joining with Your Life Iowa on it. At some point, that number will probably change, but they aren't under any particular timeline on that. They also, statistics that CISS said that they, in fiscal year 19, they processed 1,985 applications. That's an increase from fiscal year 18, they had 1,950. So you can see the need is out there. They served an average of 647 individuals a month, which is the same as fiscal year 18. They did have 18 different individuals who were served in the crisis stabilization centers this fiscal year. Of the 18, five of them had stayed at the crisis center twice for a period of time. And then lastly, they started putting in their reports their waiting list. And so this may be a waiting list for someone who is waiting for, like, services under Medicaid for the intellectual disabilities waiver or physical disabilities waiver, elderly waiver, the habilitation services. They are not bound by having to provide those services, but they do have a policy to provide some services, some basic services, while folks are waiting for their Medicaid application to be processed. And so they still need the service. So in fiscal year 19, they serviced 121 individuals. That's down from fiscal year 18 of 128. So just wanted you just be aware of some of those statistics that we have out there. They're finalizing the report that will be submitted to the state. But I just found that those were interesting. The need is great out there, and they are continuing. We have our first work group on December 9th on the Children's Services work group that I'm a part of.
Thanks for being on that group, and good luck.
Thank you.
Okay. Some of you may have heard Herta buses burned in Boone, and those were salvage buses. They were buses we were using for parts. So we're still trying to ascertain. Herta is still trying to ascertain about how the insurance deals with those. They're not on the road buses, but then what are we going to do about getting those parts since the four buses are pretty much a washout?
Were they still on the insurance plan in any way?
That's what I haven't received. The board has not received an update in the last 24 hours, but that's where definitely staff was headed to find out what exactly is going on. So, Story County Housing Trust Fund met last week at 2:00 at the same time as the elected officials and department heads meeting, which is why I wasn't at the meeting. And we did have to select a new administrative contractor, and we did do that. Also, the board members will be trying to heighten awareness throughout the county about the availability of funds for both owner-occupied repairs and then for rental assistance. So just to let you know that there'll be various of us are going to be making presentations out in the community as we head into the next few months. I already covered the Workforce Innovations and Opportunity Act as it exists today. Stay tuned for tomorrow. So, and happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
As you mentioned earlier, I'm going to be at the Ames City Council tonight at 6:00. Mayor Halen, he knew that we were getting input regarding the potential renaming of Squaw Creek, and he asked if I would come and just provide information on what we'd heard so far. So I am preparing an update on that, and we'll have hopefully we'll have a document with all of the input that's received. Next, attend several meetings this week. Next Monday, StoryComm is meeting again at 7:30 a.m., and we're really working with StoryComm to try to pull together all of the finances of that, all of the budgets, and because it's really a lot of things that are being looked at. There's the infrastructure, the towers that we're building, all the equipment for the towers, radios for public safety, radios for public works, plus an ongoing operating budget for StoryComm. So we're really dealing with three separate budgets right now and trying to pull them together, dealing with estimates, and it's it really is a moving target because things change as we're going along, but we're really getting, I think, in a much better position with that. I have had requests by some local fire agencies and EMS saying, is there any help the county is going to be able to give the locals in purchasing the new radios they'll need? And what I've started to tell people is, well, right now we can't guarantee that because we need to know what the final budgets are. The county, as you know, bonded for $3 million, and we're keeping close watch on that number to see where exactly we're coming with all the radio purchases in particular and also what the final infrastructure budgets are working into. So what I've been telling people is, you know, I'm not going to recommend to the full board this year that we look at our StoryCom money and try to get any money out to the local entities because we just don't know that we have it, but maybe in a few months we might have an idea what is going to, what the full costs are going to be and whether we can and whether we want to try to provide any assistance.
Could we have that as a discussion item, maybe December 10th? If you're going to then have better numbers then?
I don't know if we're going to have better numbers by December 10th. I doubt that. We have a meeting next Monday, but it's a work in progress. One of the things is we don't have our final tower site yet, and we don't know how much that site is going to cost. We have drawdowns on our budget of what the consultants estimated they would need at certain times for infrastructure, but we have already exceeded at least one of those, and we're updating numbers until we know what the final tower is going to cost, and we don't have the site yet, so I can't imagine we'll have it by the 10th.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the update because that's a little bit more than I'd known before, and so I know it's been a moving target for you, and you've been very diligent about it. So
well, and it has to be because things are still getting decided.
Right.
You know, and when we don't have our final tower site, and don't know what the infrastructure is going to cost there, we don't know if we'll be renting land. There are just a lot of things there. Plus, we don't have all of the radios, and we have the radio numbers. We don't have all the accessory numbers for what because
for
county
itself.
Correct. We're still working on getting some of the accessory numbers, and those come into how much money we're going to be spending out of that $3 million for the radios, plus. We're still working on ongoing operating budgets.
So at one point here earlier on in the discussion, the board was going to make decisions about radios, about how radios would be allotted throughout the county structure, meaning our own Story County structure. So now are you saying that somebody else is making that decision prior to it coming to us?
I didn't know that it was supposed to come to the board for final approval. The sheriff's department has been working, the sheriff's office has been working on that, and Dina has been working with conservation and working with secondary roads.
See, and that's the numbers, but if you go back to when there was an update from when Supervisor Sanders was doing it before, and we'd have to go and check the agendas to see when exactly that was. And then we had a conversation during a quarterly meeting with Darren Moon about that. So that is why I'm confused, because originally my understanding was is that that whatever secondary roads and conservation had thought they wanted, that would come back to the board table for a discussion on need and how that would be allocated before we went ahead to determine final numbers. That's why I'm looking for some kind of update discussion.
Okay, I don't recall that.
Okay.
I don't recall that. My personal feeling is that the sheriff and the department heads have the best idea of what they need for their operations.
I certainly agree. We would defer to the sheriff, but for the two departments that reported there were a couple of different ideas that had been put out there, including one where other county staff would be checking out radios, and I recall amount of 50 radios at one time, as opposed to how many we would need if we got per employee, and what would the difference that would be. So these discussions have occurred, and I believe since the beginning of the year. So they were just short
when it comes back?
Conservation has ordered radios, and I think they ordered a very minimal number. They have 4 sworn officers, and I think they had 3 more, so they only ordered 7 radios. There's a larger number for secondary roads, and DNN is going back to double-check with Darren to see if that he still feels that number is. And I'll certainly bring those to the board if you want me to.
Well, the board had expressed, at least at that time, I guess I and a previous supervisor had expressed us being more involved in those decisions. And it sounds like that despite there was, I mean, I myself, I remember making statements about that, about it coming forward. If you've got various plans in place, then we need to talk about these and what are we going to do as far as are they going to check out? Why are we not staffing? And so I feel this project, as far as the radios, have gotten farther ahead than where it had been indicated at the board table previously. And so, could you please? And I'll go back and over the vacation, I'll go back and I'll find the audio on these. Okay.
Okay, that'd be great. She would find that. I'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay. Tuesday, December 3rd in the evening, Prairie Rivers of Iowa is having an open house from about 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and I'll be attending that. And some other meetings coming up, but I think that's probably pretty much it. Okay, anything else for the good cause?
No, I guess I just want to make sure to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving, and if you're traveling, to make sure that you are checking weather conditions and be safe.
Okay. Anything else? I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
Okay. Hedden?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. We're adjourned.